One of the first things you notice when you meet someone new is the color of their skin. And somehow this one physical trait has become so important to us and so loaded with issues and assumptions about race and identity. Just the other week, people all over the country were debating the case of Rachel Dolezal. She's the former NAACP president in Spokane. And remember, she was outed as white, even though for years she's claimed to be black. So were people arguing about the shade of her skin or about her racial identity? In other words, is race an inherited biological trait or is it just a social construct? Skin turns out to be pretty fascinating. Anthropologist Nina Jablonski studies the history and biology of skin color, and she told Steve Paulson it goes all the way back to early human history and our emergence as the first naked ape.
We can estimate that humans firstly evolved naked skin, probably around 1.5 million years ago, and at the same time they mostly lost their coat of fur, they evolved permanent dark pigmentation. And basically what that dark pigmentation did was take the place of fur as a UV sunscreen.
So this was in Africa where this happened. I mean, the earliest humans evolved in Africa. So why did we lose our fur? I mean, why did we develop this naked skin?
This is a very good question. We think that it occurred because of the need to keep ourselves cool. These individuals were tall, strapping, strong walkers, vigorous runners, and all those activities taking place under equatorial sun generate a lot of heat. So we evolved the ability to sweat copiously, probably around 1.5 million years ago, and lost most of our fur at the same time.
So these early humans then basically were naked. They were in equatorial Africa and developed dark skin as protection against the sun?
That's right. And most animals protect themselves from ultraviolet radiation with their fur. So what we did in our lineage was turn on pigmentation genes that allowed us to produce more permanent pigmentation in our skin cells. And this was really an important revolution in human history.
Now, was the main problem that if we didn't have this melanin to protect us against the sun, that we were going to develop skin cancer?
Probably that wasn't the main problem, although certainly ultraviolet radiation can lead to skin cancer. This rarely occurs in individuals during their reproductive years. And so when we think about evolutionary mechanisms, we have to think about the reproductive years. So as I was struggling with this more than 20 years ago, I realized that ultraviolet radiation has the ability to break down an essential B vitamin called folate, something that we get from green vegetables and citrus fruits and whole grains. Folate is really important for making DNA and new cells. And it turns out that ultraviolet radiation has the ability to seriously damage folate. And the key insight behind our research is that protective melanin pigmentation evolved primarily not to protect us from skin cancer, but to preserve our folate so that we could reproduce successfully.
So given all of these advantages of dark skin, why doesn't everyone have dark skin today?
Well, for most of human history, we did. What we see today is the product of the dispersal of a few human populations out of Africa around 60 to 70,000 years ago. These ancestors of modern Eurasians were beginning to disperse into parts of the world that had much lower UV levels. And they run into problems if they have too much natural sunscreen. And the reason is that some UV is absolutely essential to us for making vitamin D in the skin.
Why do we need the vitamin D?
Vitamin D is essential for us to absorb calcium and phosphorus from our diet. So we need vitamin D to make a strong skeleton, but we also need vitamin D to maintain a strong functioning immune system. And basically, we have vitamin D receptors on every important organ of our bodies.
Now, there is also a whole racial component to this discussion. I mean, we tend to separate people by skin color into different races. You are a scientist. How should we understand race scientifically?
Well, I think it's important to understand it from a few different perspectives. When we look at human genetic diversity, we can see there are no clean breaks between human populations. So we see sort of rough and ready kinds of biological groupings, but there's tremendous amounts of overlap. There are no clear demarcation lines. And this is the primary reason why geneticists decades ago said there are no human races from a biological perspective.
So race is strictly a social construction.
Yes. But we have to recognize that that doesn't make it any less real. It doesn't really matter about the philosophical status of the race concept. If people identify that they belong to a particular race, it's real for them.
But it would seem also that there are some physical differences between races. I mean, for instance, if we look at the world of sports, people of West African origin dominate the world-class sprinting events.
This has a very interesting implication. Would you put West Africans in a separate race? Most people wouldn't, because they have so much tremendous overlap of their biological characteristics with people from other parts of Africa, including East Africa, where people have tremendous abilities in long-distance running and marathon running and not in sprinting. So drawing a definite sort of line of demarcation becomes impossible. And also, if you're just looking at a characteristic like running ability, sprinting ability, it also requires tremendous amounts of training. So there's a huge cultural component to it.
Well, we should talk some about this cultural history, because certainly one of the most disturbing developments throughout the course of human history is that blackness has been stigmatized. Around the world for centuries, people of darker skin color have been seen as socially inferior. Can we date this as to when this started?
Yes, we can. This becomes really potent in Europe, beginning in the 16th, 17th, and then in a significant way in the 18th century. So this isn't something that we can trace to very, very ancient times, but rather mostly associated with the growth of the transatlantic slave trade. It becomes very important in the history of colonial mercantilism that we actually be able to have a workforce to help develop many colonial lands. And so, well, let's get some slaves. Now, it's very important that if you're going to take slaves, that you basically create slaves as an inferior class.
Basically, you have to dehumanize them to be able to enslave them.
Yes, you dehumanize them by saying they are inherently black, inherently immoral, inherently incapable of developing true human qualities. They are subhuman.
And there were some very influential thinkers who played up these racial differences. Linnaeus, the 18th century scientist who developed modern taxonomy, distinguished between four human races and attributed various temperaments to each. The philosopher Kant talked about the different races of humanity, and not surprisingly, he put the white Europeans at the top as the most talented race. I mean, these were among the people who laid the foundations for the modern world.
And the fact that Linnaeus was read by Kant, and that many, many people read Kant, including Thomas Jefferson and many other thinkers who were important in the formation of our own country, read Kant, and this becomes the most toxic combination in human history, so that you have blackness associated with base qualities and subhuman status as less able to generate a complex civilization, as Kant would have it.
Now, these days, much has changed, and pale skin is clearly not as prized as it once was. How do you see the politics of skin color in the world today?
We live in a very strange world where many light-skinned people want to be darker, at least tanned, to look healthy and to look like they have just enjoyed a vacation in the Riviera. A lot of darkly pigmented people want to look lighter because lightness is associated with higher status. So we have a very paradoxical situation. I think what we need to recognize is that humans are motivated to want an appearance that confers higher status. Once we recognize that that's a pretty stupid thing to do, we can adjust our cultural sights and say, hey, let's just live with the skin color that we have. Let's cherish and protect it as it is.
Nina Jablonski is an anthropologist at Penn State and the author of Living Color, The Biological and Social Meaning of Skin Color. If you like this conversation, you should read Steve's longer interview with her, just published in Nautilus magazine. You'll find the link on our website at ttbook.org.